Amen. The Lord is coming. And this evening we are going to, if the Lord tarries, complete 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. So if you can please turn with me there back to 1 Chronicles chapter 12, where we were this morning, as we continue to look at David's mighty men. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Why don't we read verses 8 to 16? 1 Chronicles chapter number 12, beginning in verse number 8. And of the Gadites there separated themselves unto David into the hold to the wilderness, men of might, and men of war fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions, and were as swift as the roes upon the mountains. Ezer the first, Obadiah the second, Eliab the third, Mishmanah the fourth, Jeremiah the fifth, Attai the sixth, Eliel the seventh, Johanan the eighth, Elzabad the ninth, Jeremiah the tenth, and Machbani the 11th. These were of the sons of Gad, captains of the host. One of the least was over 100, and the greatest over 1,000. Verse 15. These are they that went over Jordan in the first month, when it had overflown all his banks, and they put to flight all them of the valleys, both toward the east and towards the west. And there came of the children of Benjamin and Judah to the hold unto David. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for the examples of those in the past that have lived by faith. Lord, thank you for the time that we can be encouraged and challenged and rebuked, Lord, and instructed in your word, so that, Lord, we may be helped in this day to live for thee. Lord, we ask that you would minister to us. May the Holy Spirit of God, may he be our teacher and lead us into truth this evening that would glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, on this Father's Day, this Sunday, we are looking at David's mighty men. But no doubt these truths apply to all believers this evening when it comes to living a life for the Lord. This morning we were reminded that we are in a spiritual warfare. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy to encourage him and to challenge him to fight the good fight of faith. And that's what you and I are engaged in this day. We are not involved in a physical warfare. We are not called to fight a physical war. We are called to engage in a spiritual battle. And that battle rages on today. In fact, it is raging in a much greater way than ever before. The Bible tells us that we are in the last days. And as we look to the Word of God this evening, we need to be encouraged as men and young men, and yes, ladies also, to be involved in the battle for Jesus Christ. He has called us with an holy calling. He has called us to wage battle spiritually for Him. And this morning we looked at some principles from these mighty men of faith. If we are going to be men of God, if we are going to be Christians used of God mightily, we need to understand the importance of being skilled in our warfare. We need to understand that it's not just enough to be saved. Once we're saved, that's just the beginning. We now then need to grow, and we need to be skilled in the weapons of our warfare. We need to know how to use the Word of God. We need to become skilled. That means there needs to be a measure of dedication, commitment, training, discipleship. Isn't it wonderful that the Lord created the local New Testament church so that once we are saved, we would become part of that local body. And through the building up of that church spiritually, we would be prepared and trained and helped and built up to be servants of God. The importance to be skilled. The importance of being skilled in our warfare. And then we saw the importance of being fit for the battle. These ones in the book of Chronicles, chapter number 12, we saw the Gadites in verse 8. They were able to not only attack, but defend at the same time. And we looked at the truths in the New Testament, the importance of being able to use God's word to defend against the temptations of the flesh, against the imaginations of the sinful nature. You see, it's one thing to know the word of God. It's another thing to live out the word of God, to apply it to our lives. And we need to be ever so careful as Christians to continue. You know, I think about these ones who could use their left and right hand just as equally. You know, one of those hands would have been the dominating hand, would have always been the hand they would have gone to pick something up or to write something or to do everyday things. So that means that other hand had to be continually trained. They had to continually practice and train and practice and discipline themselves in order to be used of God. And that's how it is in the Christian life. We need to continue to grow. We need to continue to memorize. When you and I find ourselves slipping into a certain sin or a sin habit of the past, then we need to go back to what we were doing before. Memorizing and quoting the Word of God, we cannot be complacent, because there is not only an enemy without, but there is an enemy within. They were skilled in their warfare. They were fit for the battle because they knew how to defend themselves. Thirdly, what I want us to see this evening, that these ones were men of faith. These were men of faith. They were not only skilled, they were not only prepared, but they were willing to enter the battle by faith. Now, how do we know that? That's a good question. Look with me in verse number 15. These are they that went over Jordan in the first month when it had overflown all his banks. Now that sounds familiar, doesn't it? The Jordan River had overflown all its banks. Now if you look at the tribes of the nation of Israel and you look at a map, if we had one this evening, you would see that the Gadites lived on the east side of the river, not on the west. Now in order to get into the battle, they had to cross a natural barrier, which was the Jordan River. They had to cross the Jordan River from the east to get into the battle on the west. And the Bible tells us very clearly that this was a very difficult task. Verse 15 says that just like when the nation of Israel crossed over the River Jordan, this was exactly the same time of year. It was the time of spring. It was the first month when they crossed over the river. And at that time of year, the Jordan River, we are reminded, was at its greatest height. Snow that had melted from the mountains in Lebanon and the surrounding mountains had melted and flowed down into the river. And at that time of year, the Jordan River was a raging torrent, and it could have been double that size. And certainly, once again, we see that this was not the time to cross. And yet, very clearly, we learn from the Word of God that these men did not allow the impossible to stop them. Amen? These men didn't say, well, it's too difficult. I know God wants us to serve Him. I know that God wants us to get over the other side, but there are some difficulties in the way, so therefore, I'm not going to go. That wasn't their attitude. Their attitude was, well, we know what God wants us to do, therefore, by faith, we're going to trust Him to do the impossible. The water was moving at an impossible pace. It had overflown all its banks in verse 15. That's a very vivid picture, isn't it? That means the banks of the river wasn't the borderline of the river. The river was overflowing. It was treacherous. It was impossible to cross. Yet these men, in order to get where God wanted them to get, were willing to step out by faith. Now, here's a question. How did they cross? Well, the Bible doesn't say how they crossed. But having seen the wonderful miracle that God performed for the nation of Israel, I dare say God turned the impossible into a miraculous event. We don't know how God got them across, but somehow He did. And if God is able to part the Red Sea, if He's able to hold back the waters of the River Jordan, then He was able to get these men across. But the faith that God was looking for, first of all, was a willing faith. A willing faith to do what pleased God. And what a wonderful reminder that God can do anything when we step out by faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. And if we are willing to step out for God, we ought to expect Him to do the impossible. How did they get over the river? Well, let me say this, God got them over. Amen? God got them over the river, and God was able to use these men mightily for His glory because they were willing to step out by faith. But the difference between the Israelites at the River Jordan and these 11 men at the River Jordan was this. Notice in verse number 15. Not only had the river overflown all its banks, and they put to flight all them of the valleys, both toward the east and toward the west. Now, not only did they have to cross the River Jordan, which was impossible, but they also had to get past the enemy. And the enemy wasn't just on the other side of the river. They were on, what does the Bible say? The east and the west. You see, men from King Saul's army, were not only on the west side of the river, but they were on the east. They were guarding both sides. And they were in the way. They were the opposition. They were guarding the river. And somehow they not only had to do the impossible and cross the river, but that they had to get past the men of Saul's army that controlled the valleys on both the east and the west side of the river. Now, what does verse 13 tells us? Machbani, he was the 11th. There were only 11 men. This wasn't a large army, a church family. This wasn't a great host. 11 men from the tribe of Gad had the faith to follow the Lord and step out by faith, and they had to face the impossible to do that. To cross the river, yes, but to get past the armies of King Saul. What do we see in the Word of God tonight? Well, would you agree that it would have been much easier for these men to just stay home? Would you agree? In looking at the circumstances, it would have been much easier to say, hey, look, I want to go serve God, and I know what God wants me to do. I want to get into the battle. I've got good intentions, but the obstacles are too difficult. I can't see how God can remove these barriers, these problems. And it would have been much easier for these men to stay at home. It would have been much easier for them to say, look, if we enter the battle on the east, before crossing the river, maybe our families would be in danger. And we don't want anything to happen to our families, and we can't just leave them like that. We can't. So we better not engage in the battle. Maybe they could have worried about losing what they had. Maybe they could have said that it was too hard, that it wasn't worth it. Maybe it would have been easier to stay where they lived and where they were more comfortable in their jobs and in their incomes. And maybe some of them had their future planned out. You see what we can see in the Word of God this evening. These men were willing to honor the Lord and follow the Lord and step out by faith. But they had to make a choice. They had to make a choice. Would they allow the impossibilities of life to become an excuse, or would they trust God by faith? Would they trust God by faith? Now, I dare say that is the same choice that you and I have to make each day. Will we live for God, or will we live for self? Will we engage in the battle for Jesus Christ, or will we get comfortable doing our own thing? And we too, let's admit, worry, fear, doubt, live in unbelief that God can possibly do the miraculous and use us and bless us and call us men into the ministry. And we wonder whether He can. But the question isn't whether God can. The question is, will we be willing to surrender by faith? You see, these men had to make a choice. But once their choice was made, What I want us to see tonight is that God did the impossible. Not only do we know that God got them across the river, but notice what verse 15 tells us halfway through. And what did they do? They put to flight, notice verse 15, they put to flight all them of the valleys, both towards the east and the west. Friends, this was an absolute miracle. 11 Gadites against the army of King Saul, both on the east side and the west side of a treacherous river, and the Bible says that they put them to flight. Now, I looked up the Hebrew word for that phrase, and it means this, that the enemies bolted. They ran away. They were afraid. Not just one of them, not just two of them, but all of them were put to flight, ran in fear because of these 11 men. You see, when these men stepped out by faith, what an amazing example, God did the miraculous. Let me ask you this evening, do you want God to use you as a Christian? Do you want to be a mighty man of God, young men? Do you want to be a servant that is used of God? Well, we need to live by faith. We need to trust God, amen, to do the impossible. Because when we face impossible circumstances and obstacles in front of us, let me assure you, if you and I are willing to put our faith in God, He will take care of those obstacles, amen. He will put to flight our fears. He will put to flight our unbelief. He will put to flight our obstacles and our cares. He will send them away so that you and I can get into the battle and be used of God. But the question is, will we surrender to the Lord by faith? You see, you might be here this evening and you might say, well, Pastor, it's impossible that God can use me. Well, God specializes in doing the impossible, amen? That's why He recorded these events for us. Why were these men, mighty men of God, fit for the battle? Because they trusted in God. Because they had faith in the Lord. That's why they did the impossible. Faith in God. They were surrendered to do that which God had called them to do, and God took care of the rest. Amen? Let me ask you this evening, Christian. It's one thing to be saved, but has there ever come a point that you surrendered your life to God? See, many Christians often miss the fact that God not only calls us to salvation, but He calls us to surrender. Maybe when you were saved, you did surrender your life to the Lord. And there was a period where you desired to serve God, and maybe that has faded over the years, and maybe you need to surrender your life afresh. But has that ever happened in your life? Have you ever come to the Lord like Isaiah of old to say, Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, I'm not anything in my own sight, but Lord, You can do the impossible. And Lord, I lay my life down on the altar of Your will. Lord, use me for Your glory. You see, that's what the Lord expects. And these 11 men didn't make excuses because of fears of the unknown. They weren't living in unbelief. They weren't indulging in the comforts and pleasures of this world. They were surrendered to God, and they trusted Him by faith. Christian, we need to realize that we will never be mightily used of God until we surrender. Until we say by faith, Lord, whatever You want to do in my life, I'm willing for You to do it. Amen? And to believe and trust God that anything He has planned for us is much better than our own plans. That is faith. Now, the devil likes to whisper in my ear, and yours too, that God will punish you. God will cause you to suffer. His plan is the most torturous and uncomfortable and difficult plan, and you won't enjoy anything in this world if you surrender your life to God. And young people, some of you are listening to the devil because he's on the TV, he's in the magazines, he's on the internet, and all that you see and yes, feel when you watch those programs tell you that the world has something much better to offer the God of the universe who spoke the universe into existence. Next time you doubt God, look up at the stars on a starry night. And then tell God that He's not able to give you wondrous things in this life if you simply surrender yourself to Him. No, His way is the path of joy. His way is the path of eternal blessings. It's the devil that lies to us, does he not? That if you surrender your life to God, you'll miss out. In fact, it's the opposite. If you don't surrender your life to God, you will miss out. For the way of the transgressor is hard. It's very hard. We know that because some of us have gone those ways. Difficult, hard, painful. That's the result of sin. It's not the result of serving God. Amen? So let's remember that. These men said, well, this is difficult. If we're going to get across to David, we have to face the impossible. But we know this is the will of God. We know this is what God has called us to do. And these 11 men put to flight the armies, miraculously crossed the river, and there they were in David's hiding place as an encouragement and a help to King David in a time of battle. Christian, do you know what God's will for you is? I'm not talking about the general will of God to be in church, to read our Bible, but what about His specific will? What has He called you to do? What spiritual gifts has God given you? Do you know what those spiritual gifts are? Some of you men, maybe God has called you to the ministry. He's given you the gift of preaching and teaching, and He desires you to serve in this church so He can reveal that gift. Maybe He wants to send you and use you to do the impossible. Young ladies, maybe God wants to use you to do the impossible. Maybe He wants you to be a blessing in the ministry and a help. He wants you to use your gifts and talents and to serve. But you see, in order for you and I to do that, we need to put a measure of faith in God. And yes, we can't do anything. But if we step out by faith and we say, Lord, here am I. Use me. God will remove those obstacles. He will do the impossible. And He promises to, if we simply trust in Him. What an adventurous life, amen, to be a Christian. Christian life is an adventure. Don't let anyone ever tell you otherwise. The Christian life is the most exciting life this side of eternity. One day, it'll be even more exciting. And that day is coming when Jesus comes, when we see Him face to face. But as for now, we live by faith, not by sight. The just shall live by faith. Why were these mighty men used of God in such a great way? Well, they were men of faith. Amen? They were men that surrendered to God by faith. And God calls us to surrender to Him by faith. Lastly, here in the book of Chronicles, chapter number 12, 1 Chronicles chapter number 12, I'd like us to see something very unique and specific in the Word of God. You know, God never records anything in His Word to fill up space. Amen? He doesn't record anything in His Word to just fill up space. God tells us certain truths because they are important. Notice what the Bible says in verse 16. Why don't we read this verse aloud together on two? 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 16. 1, 2. And there came of the children of Benjamin and Judah to the hold unto David. Now we've got a problem here. Because David was in hiding from whom? King Saul. And here we see in verse number 16 that the children of Benjamin came to David. Now which tribe was Saul from originally?
Benjamin.
The tribe of Benjamin. If you read up in the Old Testament, you'll see that that's the tribe that Saul came from. These were his people. These were his family, perhaps. These were his tribesmen. That's the tribe that King Saul came from. And King Saul was the very one that is seeking to kill David. And the Bible tells us that not only did men of Judah come to support David and enter into the battle, but men of Benjamin came also. Now that is amazing. Because what we see here this evening is that these men made a very, very personal sacrifice. Not only were these men of faith, these mighty men, but these ones were willing to make a very personal sacrifice for God. Well, what did they do? Well, they chose to put God first over their family. They chose to put God first over their kinsmen. They chose to put God first over their own people, over their own friends, over their own culture, if you will. These were men of Benjamin, and they are now come to David to help in the battle. And because they made a very personal sacrifice, God used them mightily, and God honored them. In fact, as we read through the Chronicles, God mentions who they are. He mentions their names. Why? Because he desires to honor these ones who were willing to sacrifice in such a way that they put God's will first. Notice verse number 18. Now, obviously, David was a little bit suspicious, and I would be too. What are you guys doing here? You know? Why are you here? You're Saul's men. Are you sent here to spy on us? Notice verse number 18. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, and that's God's Spirit, who was the chief, who was chief of the captains, and he said, "Thine we are, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse. Peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers." Now, why were they on David's side? Why didn't they naturally stay with King Saul? Well, notice the rest of verse number 18. Let's say it together. "For thy God helpeth thee." Then David received them and made them captains of the band. You see, these men realized, hang on a second, yes, our loyalty because of our family and our tribe, our culture and our relationships is loyal to Saul, but God is not on Saul's side. God, in fact, was on David's side. David was meant to be the future king of Israel. And these men put two and two together and they realized, hang on a second, if we are going to obey God, we need to make a serious decision here. Either we stay with King Saul and reap the consequences of not serving the Lord, but perhaps keeping our friends and staying close to our family and just keeping those bonds of family and relationship ties, or we obey God. Because God is with David. And if God is with David, then we want to be on God's side. And though our own people, though our own family, though our own friends might call us traitors in their eyes, we know that David, God is with thee. And we are on thy side. And we are on the side of thy people. In fact, they said, did they not? David, thine we are. What an amazing personal sacrifice they made. They were willing to sacrifice in order to enter into the battle. What a wonderful picture for us this evening. What a wonderful example of what it truly means to put God first. To put God first. Friends, as Christians, we need to understand that God calls us to put Him first in all things. God deserves His place on the throne of our lives. And nothing less is acceptable before the Lord. Notice Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans chapter 12, thank you for turning with me there. Let's have a look at a verse in the New Testament. The book of Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. The Bible says, "I beseech or plead with you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." How does God describe the measure of sacrifice He expects of us? How does He describe what He expects of you and I as a child of God? God says very clearly, does He not, in verse number 1? In fact, Paul is pleading with the Romans, the believers in Rome. He's saying, don't miss this. God expects you to live no less than a living sacrifice. God expects you to come to the altar, Christian, and surrender your life to God again and again and again to say, yes, Lord, what would you have me to do? Because the Bible is very clear that this is the only acceptable sacrifice to God. This is your reasonable service. In fact, any other service is unreasonable. Half surrender is unreasonable. God says, I don't accept that. God says, no, I will not use you, Christian, until you're fully surrendered. God says, until you get to that point of complete and utter release by faith, I cannot use you. But friends, once you and I, by faith, surrender our hearts and our lives to God, He is able to use us. But there are many obstacles in the way. And you know, from personal experience, let me say this, and I'm sure you would agree, one of the greatest obstacles in our lives are our friends and our family. Those we know. You see, these ones made a very personal sacrifice. They turned their back on their family and their tribes, and they came to David. In reality, they betrayed their own people. Why? To do the will of God. To serve the living God. And that wasn't easy for them to do. Who knows who they were leaving behind? Maybe they were leaving a close family behind. Maybe they were leaving friends behind. But they made a sacrifice. And God blessed them and used them mightily for His glory. And they did the right thing. They did the right thing. You see, their decision was a decision of faith. In order to be on the Lord's side, we have to make decisions. That's why Joshua said to the nation of Israel, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But you need to choose you this day whom you will serve. Will you serve the gods of your fathers that they worshipped in Egypt? Are you going to follow the traditions of your family, your culture? Is that how you're going to raise your home, people of God? Or are you going to follow the Lord? Adults, parents, fathers, mothers, we have that decision to make each day. How will we live as Christians? How will we live our Christian lives? Will we allow our past or even present relationships to determine our future as a child of God? Friends, these are difficult decisions. These are decisions that are of the deepest and most heartfelt decisions, because they have to do with our family. They have to do with our friends. But let me encourage you. God is no man's debtor. That means you cannot give anything to God and expect to lose out. Amen? God will always multiply His blessings. We may not understand how that will work. But if we put God first, if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. You know, there are Christians today that won't commit to being faithful to church because their family calls them up on Sunday and invites them to a barbecue, and off they go. Gone. Why? Because of the family ties. And many of them are not even saved, but because it's family, well, then God gets put on the shelf. Many Christians today don't surrender to God because they're following the culture of this world or the traditions of this world or even the culture that they were born with. What about the culture we were born with? Every single one of us, doesn't matter where you come from, we're born into a culture. But friends, that is your first birth. It is not the second birth. Your first birth is cultural. Your second birth is spiritual. And the Bible tells us that when we are born again, we are born by the Spirit of God. We are born into the family of God. In fact, the Bible says we have a new culture and a new inheritance. We are heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We are children of God. Now, not everything in our past culture is sinful. Amen? Not everything is sinful. You know, I'm not saying once you get saved, you're no longer an Aussie. Is that right? No. There's lots of things about the Australian culture that are fine, that are acceptable. But if your mates, men, tell you on a Friday night that you're not a real man and you can't be a true blue Aussie if you don't go drinking with them after work to the pub, well, you need to make a choice. Do I honour my culture and dishonour God, or do I listen to God? Do I serve the living God? And do I separate from that which is sinful and against God? You see, this is what these men did. And one of the greatest stumbling blocks in the Christian life is this. What do we do? What do we do with our friends and family that hold us back from surrendering to God, to doing the will of God? Well, God says, who is on the Lord's side. Let him come unto me. And these men made a very personal decision. And these are the decisions you and I need to make, Christian, if we are going to be used mightily of God. Christians can be stuck because they're just not willing to make the choice to say no. You don't need to say it harshly. You don't need to say it in anger. In fact, please don't say it in anger. But we can say no lovingly. We can explain, though they may not understand, and no doubt the Benjamites did not understand why these of their own people left. And the majority were helping Saul. And they didn't understand, where are you going, you traitors? How can you do this? They might get angry. Those whom we love might get angry. If they're not saved, they won't understand. And let me say this, unfortunately I need to say this, some saved Christians don't understand. If they're not walking with the Lord, if they're not surrendered to God, they won't understand your desire to wholeheartedly surrender to God. Adults, we dare not hold our children back from what God has called them to do. We dare not get in the way, because then God needs to deal with us. You see, God expects first place. He expects full surrender. He expects us to be a living sacrifice. But because they chose to do what was right, they chose to please God first, God used them in a mighty way. This is what it means to be a mighty man of God. This is what it means to be a mighty believer used of God. To be surrendered. To step out by faith, despite what others will think and what others think of us. That's what the Lord Jesus asked. He said, if any man come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. It will involve rejection to follow Christ. It will involve difficult decisions. It will involve persecution. But by faith we believe, as we honour the Lord, He will give the victory. And in the end, King David was installed as king. And what happened? He reunified the rest of the tribes. The Benjaminites, they were brought into the new kingdom, if you will, in Jerusalem. And they understood that this was the will of God. Friends, you and I can't possibly understand how God may work in our families' lives or in our friends' lives that perhaps don't believe. But as you and I surrender ourselves to God, we believe that miraculously He'll work in their lives. And that the answer is not just to stay and not live for God and not separate and just keep those relationships because we might offend someone. We might hurt their feelings. They may not talk to us after a while. The question is, could we say this evening, Lord, thine we are. Lord, thine we are. They knew God was on David's side. Let me encourage you, next time you have a decision to make between perhaps the closest family you love and God, let me encourage you to honour the Lord. That's what the Lord expects. That's what He accepts as our reasonable service. God named these mighty men. We don't have time to look at their names, but let me encourage you, church family, these names were written down in the eternal Word of God, and God's Word will never fade away. God's Word will never be destroyed, as we sang this evening. God's Word will endure for all eternity, and the names of these ones who made these choices are there, chronicled, recorded in the divine Word of God. And I trust that one day when you see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, you will desire to hear the words of a loving Saviour who would say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you and I make these choices, how can you and I be used mightily of God? Well, we need to be skilled in warfare. We need to be fit for the battle. We need to be people of faith. We need to be willing to sacrifice. And if we are, God can use us in a mighty way in this day. Amen. Let me challenge you to surrender to God. Let me challenge you to let go by faith and let God take His rightful place on the throne of your heart. You might say, Pastor, that's a little bit scary. Yes, it is. It is a bit scary because we step into the unknown, but we step forward into the unknown with God. Amen? That's the exciting part. The fearful part is not knowing what will happen, but the exciting part is knowing that God will take care of our future. And on top of that, He will use us in a mighty way. Christian, what is stopping you from full surrender? What is holding you back? Perhaps God has revealed something this evening. Let me encourage you to surrender that to Him.